So today, we'll be reading from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 21, text 35.
Veda Brahmatma Vishaya Srikanda Vishaye Ime Parokshavada Rasaya Paroksam Mamachapriyam.
Veda, the Vedas. Brahma Atma, the understanding that the soul is pure spirit. Vishaya, having as their subject matter. Srikandha Vishaya, divided into three sections, which represent fruitive work, worship of the demigods, and realization of the absolute truth. Ime, these. Parokshavada, speaking esoterically. Rishayaha, the Vedic authorities. Paroksam, indirect explanation. Mama, to me. Cha, also. Priyam, dear. Translation. The Vedas, divided into three divisions, ultimately reveal the living entity as pure spirit soul. The Vedic seers and mantras, however, deal in esoteric terms, and I also am pleased by such confidential descriptions. Purport. In the various verses, Lord Krishna clearly refuted the concept that Vedic knowledge is meant for material enjoyment, and here the Lord summarizes the actual purpose of Vedic literature, which is self-realization. Although the conditioned souls are struggling in the network of material energy, their actual existence is transcendental freedom in the kingdom of God. The Vedas gradually lift the conditioned soul out of the darkness of illusion and establish him in the eternal loving service of the Lord. As stated in the Vedanta Sutra 4.4.23, Anavritti Shabda, which means one who properly hears Vedic knowledge, please listen carefully, one who properly hears Vedic knowledge does not have to return to the cycle of birth and death. One may ask why the Lord himself, as well as the Lord's representatives, which is the Vedic seers and mantras, speak in esoteric or indirect terms. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, the Supreme Lord does not allow himself to be taken cheaply, and thus he is not manifest to superficial or inimical people. Those who are polluted by the material atmosphere are induced to purify themselves through Vedic rituals that offer fruitive results, just as a child is induced to take medicine by the offer of a candy reward. Because of the confidential nature of Vedic exposition, less intelligent persons cannot appreciate the ultimate transcendental purpose of the Vedas, and consequently they fall down to the platform of sense gratification. The term Brahmatma or spirit soul ultimately indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who states in Bhagavad Gita that knowledge of him is Rajaguhyam, the most confidential of all secrets. One who depends upon material sense perception remains in gross ignorance of the absolute truth. One who depends upon mental and intellectual speculation may get a clue that the eternal soul and super soul are both within the material body. But finally, one who depends, and this is the conclusion of this whole purport, essence is here, but one who depends upon the Lord himself, faithfully hearing the Lord's own message in Bhagavad Gita, perfectly understands the entire situation and goes back home, back to Godhead, having fulfilled the true purpose of Vedic knowledge.
ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ध्यानांजन शलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। सो दी When I read this purport, the last line seemed to be the complete essence of what is being sought to communicate in this verse, which is that one who depends upon the Lord Himself, faithfully hearing the Lord's own message in Bhagavad Gita, perfectly understands the entire situation. What is the entire situation being referred to? The esoteric explanation of the Vedas. That's the entire situation. Nobody will understand unless one is faithfully hearing the Lord's own message in Bhagavad Gita. And once having done that, then one will fulfill the true purpose or import of Vedic knowledge. So that's what is the essence of this whole purport. So a conditioned soul goes through a typical journey in which we can call as the life cycle of Krishna consciousness. There are so many things that gradually we begin to understand, and different conditioned souls are at different points in their realizations. So initially the conditioned soul needs to understand the difference between matter and spirit. Most of mankind is of the opinion that we are this body and after death everything is finished, so enjoy the short life and do whatever you want. There is no accountability, there is no God. So first is to understand that we are not made of matter. We are made of spirit, and that the spirit soul is eternal and indestructible. That's the first thing. Gradually, we migrate to grade 2, which is the conditioned soul understands that yes, I am not matter, I am spirit, but I am subordinate spirit. And there is a supreme spirit which is higher than me. So I am not the supreme spirit. That's the second concept which a conditioned soul gets to understand. The third is that supreme spirit impersonal or personal? So then one understands by carefully hearing Vedanti Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. That supreme spirit is realized in three stages: Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So there is an impersonal feature, but higher than that is the localized feature, and higher than that is the personal feature of the Lord in His abode. Now having come to this platform, then there is a final difference. That is, sometimes you will find this difference is the difference between various sampradayas. And what is that? The final difference is one of understanding the supreme personality of Godhead vis-a-vis the absolute truth. So if we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes in the preface of Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first word which he writes is, the concept of God and the concept of absolute truth are not on the same level. Prabhupada writes. So I was struggling to understand initially what is Prabhupada trying to say here. What do you mean God and absolute truth are not on the same level? So when we read the scriptures, when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we gradually try to understand that the Godhood of Godhead is one way of understanding God, but another way of understanding God is the absolute truth, where God doesn't want to feel that He is God. And that is the difference between the Vaikuntha atmosphere and the Golok atmosphere, where Lord completely wants to forget willingly that He is God, and that's why He is able to enjoy those sweet pastimes, the foundation of which is subordination of the Lord to His devotees. That's why you will find that the Lord loses wrestling matches with the Gopas, though He can easily turn around the entire material universes many times over. So that is the difference between understanding God as God and understanding Him as understanding the absolute truth. They are not on the same level. So this is the journey a soul goes through. Matter to spirit, subordinate spirit to the supreme spirit, impersonality to personality, and Godhood versus absolute truth. So this is a typical migration of a spirit soul in terms of understanding of the scriptures. So the soul gradually moves from a state of avidya or ignorance to a state of knowledge, which is called as jnana, and then having put that jnana into practice, that jnana now becomes vijnana or realized knowledge, and then that vijnana leads to increases one's bhakti. So this is so the entire realm of scriptures, be it the Vedas, be it the Itihasas, be it the Puranas, the Isopanishad, Mahabharat, Ramayana, are all meant to facilitate the journey of the conditioned soul from the abyss of ignorance to the realization of the absolute truth. So thus, we have 4 Vedas, we have 108 Upanishads, we have 18 Puranas. Now, if you see, each of these scriptures are also designed in a particular way. There is a nice flow we can see. Because the Vedas starts with differentiating matter and spirit. At that level it begins. And then it talks about dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So, gradually if you see the Vedas, they again migrate between the karma kanda to the jnana kanda to the upasana kanda. And then bhakti is also given in the Vedas. Okay. Though, because of the influence of the other three, bhakti is covered completely. And that's why Vedavyas was not very happy. Even after he composed all the Vedas, and then Narad Muni had to come and tell him that, you know, you have the realm of bhakti is somewhere lost in this whole gamut of information that you have provided in the Vedas. Then, when you come to Bhagavad Gita also has got this, you know, ascending tone, wherein it again starts from matter and spirit in the second chapter, then it moves on to jnana. Jnana Yoga, then it moves to Dhyana Yoga, then it moves to Bhakti Yoga. And then comes Srimad Bhagavatam, which takes, and then, so if one only reads the Vedas, then he's stuck at impersonalism. But when he comes to the Bhagavad Gita, then he knows that there is a personality, and that is this Lord Krishna. And then one comes to the platform of Srimad Bhagavatam, then again from the first canto to the tenth canto, one migrates gradually from the concept that God is not only God, but he is a simple cowherd boy, which is realized in the Brahma Vimoga Leela in the 10th canto. So we see that the scriptures are gradually progressing from one level to the other level. Now, how does the conditioned soul migrate in this journey from here to there? That is by faithful hearing about the Lord as well as his devotees. And that is the gist of what this purport is containing. So, talking about faithfully hearing and developing our bhakti towards the Lord, today is the auspicious day of Negesis. Okay. Today is the auspicious day of Snan Yatra in Puri. Okay. Snan Yatra is the appearance day. It's technically said to be the appearance day of Lord Jagannath. Lord Krishna's appearance is on Janmashtami. You know that. But Lord Jagannath is said to have appeared during the Snan Yatra. So today that function is being held in Puri, Jagannath Puri. So because this purport talks about faithful hearing about the Lord and his devotees, we thought that why not discuss about Lord Jagannath's advent today. So we'll spend some time today discussing about Snan Yatra. And obviously there are two more events today. Because of which today is a very special day. And in fact, when I was going through, you know, some of the, when I was going through iskandesiretory.com, I found that, you know, many acharyas have lectured on this particular day on 3 subject matters. One is the Snan Yatra, one is the disappearance day of Sridhar Pandit, that is also today, and third is, it's also the disappearance day of Mukunda Datta. So, the Lord and two of his devotees, the Lord's appearance and the disappearance of two of his devotees. So, that's what makes today's day very special. So in today's class, we'll try and focus on these 3 aspects. So it's not going to be much of philosophy, I'll not bore you, but we'll try and discuss more of pastimes today, for a change. So when we are talking about the Vedas, Puranas, etc., specifically talking of Puranas, there are so many Puranas, like Matsya Purana, Vishnu Purana, Narad Purana, Brahma Purana, Padma Purana, and so on and so forth. So one such Purana out of this is called as the Skanda Purana. The word Skanda Purana, Skanda comes from the son of Lord Shiva, okay, whose name was Skanda. So, the Skanda Purana, it is said, out of all the 18 Puranas, is the most detailed Purana. Right? And a part of this Skanda Purana is called as Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya. And in this Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya, what is Purushottam Kshetra? Jagannath Puri. So, it is coming under this Skanda Purana. And the whole glory of Jagannath Puri has been revealed in this Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya. So today we'll discuss something from Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya and what it says in terms of how Lord Jagannath revealed himself to this world gradually. So I did some reading from a book called as Jagannath Ki Jai by Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu. So whatever that I'm speaking, it's from that book. So in case you want further information, it's a very elaborate book. It talks about, you know, everything about Jagannath Puri is there. It's like a Bible of Jagannath Puri. So it is mentioned that once upon a time, a sage by the name Jaimini Rishi, he was having a conversation or samvad with his disciples and with various other sages. And that is the genesis of conversations in the scriptures about Purushottam Kshetra. So he mentioned to the sages that Purushottam Kshetra is none other than the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead descended to planet Earth. And it is said, what to speak of living in Purushottam Kshetra, even the desire to live in Purushottam Kshetra can liberate a person, can remove a person of all the sins. And it is said that this Purushottam Kshetra on this earth, in the central part of this Purushottam Kshetra, near the sea, there is a blue hill called as Nilachala. And this Nilachala is called as the bosom of Mother Earth. And it is mentioned that here the Lord used to reside in his four-handed form called as Neelamadhava. Called as Neelamadhava. Okay. So, when Jaimini Rishi was explaining this, he also mentioned that when Lord Brahma created the secondary creation, obviously the primary creator is none other than Mahavishnu himself, but the secondary creator, or which is called as Visarga, is the handiwork of Lord Brahma. So when he created this secondary creation of Visarga, he found that it's like, actually, if we are any, I don't know, Jayaprabhu, you are an architect, right? So suppose you are given a project, right? Okay, can you please construct a jail where people will be tortured? No. How would you like to do that project? Where all criminals will come and stay inside that. And you know that, you know, the facilities inside will not be very good. You will have to introduce birth, disease, old age, death into that jail. So you will not be very happy doing that. So when Lord Brahma was creating this Visarga, he was happy he was serving the Lord, but automatically, because he is a Vaishnava, he had compassion for the fallen souls. He said, what is this creation? Everyone is going to come, everything is temporary. Some people are getting sick body here, who will be eating stool, and I have to create that body. So you can imagine that. No, and because he is a Vaishnava, he had compassion. So out of his compassion, he prayed to the Lord, saying that, okay, fine, I am creating this jail for you, but at least give me some hope by which I can put some facility inside this jail that people can be delivered. And then Lord Vishnu at that time instructed Lord Brahma, saying that my abode, spiritual abode, will descend into this material world as Purushottam Kshetra. And this is what was being explained by Jaimini Rishi to the sages. So when Lord Brahma heard these glories of this Purushottam Kshetra, he had developed an intense desire to visit this place. So when he visited this place, he went to a place called as Rohini Kund in this Purushottam Kshetra. And what he saw amazed him. He saw in this Rohini Kund, in the tranquil waters, he saw a crow coming down. A crow is not a very great bird, right? But the crow is coming down at a very high speed. It comes and then gets a dip into the Rohini Kund. It takes an atomic particle of water from the Rohini Kund, and as it comes out of the water, it develops a 400 Narayana form, going back to Vaikuntha. When Lord Brahma saw this, he was completely bewildered and also very happy to see the potency of this place. So, while on one hand, Lord Brahma was very happy, somebody was unhappy because of this, and that is Lord Yamaraj. He said, if even crows start taking atomic particles and then starting, then what's the scope of employment for me? Then you have to give me redundancy. Redundancy package has to be given for Lord Brahma. So he was not very happy. So he was concerned. So Lakshmi, Goddess Lakshmi, came and started explaining to Lord Brahma as well as Lord Yamaraj about this Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya, of course, she assuaged, you know, Lord Yamaraj's grief or concern that you will get other places. Don't worry, there are enough places. Like Constance, not Constance. So Goddess Lakshmi is having this conversation with Yamaraj and Lord Brahma. And in that conversation, again, that conversation is being narrated by Jaimini Rishi to the sages. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam is a conversation within a conversation, within a conversation. So Purushottam Kshetra Mahatma is also like that. Jaimini Rishi is speaking to the sages what Goddess Lakshmi spoke to Brahma and Yamaraj. So it's coming like that. So she said that at the time of the partial annihilation, okay, now we understand that there is something called as Kalpa. Kalpa means one day of Brahma, which is 1000 cycles of Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali Yuga. Now Markandeya Rishi, he was one of the Rishis, he had this benediction that he will live for 7 Kalpas, 7 by 1000 cycles of Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali Yuga. So at the time of, and we all know that at the end of Lord Brahma's day, there is partial annihilation, and then the end of Brahma's life, there is complete annihilation. So when there was a partial annihilation was taking place, Markandeya Rishi was sitting alone and he was finding that everything, there is tsunami all around him, right? But finally he found himself to be sitting on a small tract of land and nothing was happening to that land. So he was wondering, what is this? All around me destruction is happening, but nothing is happening to me in this tract of land. So when he went there, he found that there was a tree there, a banyan tree, and there that under that banyan tree was a small baby which was sucking its own toes. Okay. So he obviously understood that this is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and then he came to understand that this is the place which the Lord is giving him an indication that you should reside now and perform yogic meditation. When I say yogic meditation, we are talking about meditation in bhakti yoga, right? Dhyana vastita tat gatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino. So this meditation is not like, you know, the meditation or the exercises which we do, pranayama or whatever, to control our sugar and cholesterol. So this yoga meditation which Markandeya Rishi indulged in is bhakti yoga meditation. So Lakshmi Devi continued narrating that this Purushottam Kshetra, if you see from the map of this Purushottam Kshetra, it's shaped like a conch shell. So therefore it's also called as Shankha Kshetra. Shankha means conch shell. So during Satya Yuga of Swarochisa Manu, so there are many many Manus. We have the current Manu is Vaivaspata Manu, and then we know about Swayambhu Manu because they are the most popular Manus. But there is a Manu by the name Swarochisa Manu. So it is mentioned that in Satya Yuga, during the rule of this Swarochisa Manu, King Indradyumna, a great devotee of the Lord, will appear. So Goddess Lakshmi is preempting all this to Brahma and Yamaraj, that King Indradyumna is going to appear here, and she is telling Lord Brahma, when you come there at that Satya Yuga, when you descend, then please instruct him on performing 1000 Ashwamedha Yajnas, and by that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear in a very unique form in Purushottam Kshetra. And also she mentioned that Vishwakarma, who is the celestial architect, will personally architect or fashion this deity from wood. So having heard this, Lord Brahma and Yamaraj got very happy. Yamaraj had his employment guarantee, and Lord Brahma also felt less guilty for constructing the Visarga, and then they returned back. So now from here, Jaimini Rishi starts narrating how the entire pastime of how Lord Jagannath appeared in this material world. So it is said that there was this King Indradyumna in Satya Yuga, who ruled the entire world, and he had his headquarters in a place called as Avanti. Now this king was not an ordinary king, he was a truthful, pious and religious king. So he was called as a Rajarishi. So because he was very pious, he had this deep desire to come face to face with the Lord, for darshan of the Lord. He wanted to go to that place where the Lord reveals himself face to face. So he, in one of the sabhas, a sabha is, what do you call it in English, a sabha? One of the assembly sessions, yeah. When I say assembly sessions, the Indian parliament comes to my mind. The throwing of chairs on one another. So I don't like to say sabha, but yeah, whatever. So when he was sitting in his court in the morning, he asked this question to his sabha, saying that, does anyone know where I can find this place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead I can see face to face? So in the sabha, there was a traveling mendicant, a sage, okay, who revealed to him, yes, I know of such a place. It's called as Purushottam Kshetra, or it's also called as Nilagiri. Nilagiri means blue mountain. And there is a place called Rohini Kund, where a crow comes and then it takes a four-handed form. Right? Not only that, he says that the Lord resides here in his four-handed form as Nilamadhava. And he said that every day the demigods descend to this Purushottam Kshetra to personally cook for the Lord. So that is the glory of Purushottam Kshetra. And he said that by staying in this Purushottam Kshetra, I myself have developed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whatever devotion I have is because of my residence in this holy place of Purushottam Kshetra. So when Maharaj King Indrajumna heard this, he was extremely pleased and he said, can any of you take the responsibility of going there and getting more information about this place? So there was a minister, and this minister had a brother whose name was Vidyapati. He was a very learned and intelligent Brahmana. He took the onus of himself to say that, okay, I'll leave Avanti and I'll go to this place called Purushottam Kshetra and I'll come back with more information. So thus Vidyapati started his journey towards Purushottam Kshetra. And along the way, he crossed the river Mahanidhi and then he came to a place called as Bhuvaneshwar. Bhuvaneshwar is the residence where Lord Shiva's temple is also there. And after he crossed Bhuvaneshwar, he entered into the thick forest. Now he is in the last, he is almost there, very close to Nilamadhava. So as he entered the thick forest, as he was passing through, he met some tribal woodsmen who were also called as the Sabaras. So these Sabaras were very hospitable to him. They welcomed Vidyapati and they told him that, okay, please come, you are our guest, we will take care of you. So they took him, and there was the head of this tribal whose name was Vishwavasu. He was the head of the Sabara tribe. Now when Vidyapati went there, he was offered elaborate food and refreshment. And after that he was asked, now why have you come here? The Sabaras asked him. And Vidyapati told him that actually, I am the minister of, I am part of the entourage of King Indradumna, and I have come here on a very special mission to take darshan of Nilamadhava and to reveal Nilamadhava to the entire world. So when the Sabaras heard this, they got disturbed. Why? Because they thought that once the whole world comes to know about it, then their simple intimate exchange, daily exchange which they had with Nilamadhava, obviously will get jeopardized. That kind of a daily exchange, and then now so many people will come, and then today, like modern day Vrindavan, we are building skyscrapers in Vrindavan also nowadays. So the simplicity or forest nature of Vrindavan is slowly going away. So they were also having this kind of a worry about urbanization. So they were not very happy when Vidyapati revealed this, but nevertheless, because they were simple people, they said, okay, because you are a guest, we will honor your request and we will take you to Nilamadhava. Also, there was a folklore, there was a legend in their own Sabara community. They knew that one day a great king will come and then he will start worshipping Nilamadhava. They knew that at the back of their mind. So they realized that now the time has come and it's probably the Lord's desire. So they didn't raise much of opposition. So they started escorting Vidyapati through the thickets to where Lord Nilamadhava resides. And as Vidyapati travelled, he came to the cool shade of a Kalpavriksha tree, and from there Vidyapati saw Lord Nilamadhava's four-handed form in a nearby kunja or grove. So after he took darshan of Nilamadhava, Vidyapati was ecstatic because he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So when he returned to the Sabaras, he thanked them for that, and again the Sabaras offered him food and refreshment. And he found and he saw that on one hand the Sabaras didn't have much of wealth. So he was wondering, where does this elaborate food and refreshment come from? because he had never tasted such food in his entire lifetime. Even under the assembly of King Indradyumna, he had not tasted anything like that. So the Sabaras revealed to him that whatever Jaimini Rishi revealed, that every day the demigods personally descend here and offer bhoga to Lord Neelamadava, and whatever we get is the remnants of what Lord Neelamadava has taken. So he took lot of these remnants along with him and commenced his journey. Now as he left the Purushottam Kshetra, immediately after that there was a tropical storm in Purushottam Kshetra, and as a result of this tropical storm, Lord Neelamadava disappeared. But obviously Vidyapati was not, he didn't know what's happening, so he came all along the way, and then he met Maharaj Indradyumna. So when Maharaj Indradyumna saw him, he saw that Vidyapati had a garland which was on Lord Neelamadava, and also he had this prasadam in his hand, the remnants of what then he brought to Maharaj Indradyumna. When he took these remnants and when he smelt this garland, Maharaj Indradyumna, because he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he was full of ecstasy, and though he was the emperor of the entire world, he was the ruler of that kingdom also, he fell prostrate and he offered obeisances to his own ministers. Not many leaders will do it today. So, and then Maharaj Indradyumna, once he saw this, he developed a deep desire that now I must perfect my life by taking darshan of Neelamadava. So he ordered his entire kingdom that all of you now pack up the Avanti kingdom and let us all proceed towards Purushottam Kshetra to take darshan of Neelamadava. And as he was making this preparation, Sri Narad Muni also appeared there, and that was a pastime arranged by the Lord. So as we go ahead, we'll understand why Narad Muni was there. So Narad Muni came along, and Maharaj Indradyumna invited Srila Narad Muni to this mission. Can you accompany me? And then he said, yes, I will. And then both of them along with the entire kingdom started for Purushottam Kshetra. So again, as similar to Vidyapati's journey, they came to the Mahanadi river. And as they were camping in the Mahanadi river, the king of Utkal kingdom, Utkal is the modern day Orissa, yes, Utkal is another name for Orissa, the king of Utkal, he came across and he communicated this bad news to Maharaj Indradyumna and to Narad Muni, saying that because of a tropical storm, Lord Neelamadava has disappeared from this world. And when Maharaj Indradyumna heard this, his whole world collapsed around him. But because Srila Narad Muni was there, Narad Muni was always there at these troubled times. So there is a nice explanation of the samvad which happens between Narad Muni and Maharaj Indradyumna, how Narad Muni gives him an elaborate exposition of the Bhakti Yoga principles, wherein he tells him that if you want to see the Lord face to face, it just doesn't happen with desire, it also needs patience. Utsahan, nischaya, dhairya. So utsahan itself is not important, nischaya and dhairya is also important, patience and determination. So he gives this, there's a conversation which happens, and then Maharaj Indradyumna says, okay, let's continue. He puts his faith in Srila Narad Muni's instructions, and he said, no, we'll still go ahead with this journey. So from Mahanadi river they reach now Bhubaneswar, and then they have darshan of Lord Shiva. So when they take darshan of Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva instructs Maharaj Indradyumna, don't give up your hope, there is something which you will find when you reach Purushottam Kshetra. And then separately he comes to Narad Muni, which other people cannot see, and he instructs Narad Muni that you should instruct Maharaj Indradyumna, when you reach there you will find a small deity of Narsinga there, which is there in Purushottam Kshetra, you will find the deity. Please instruct Maharaj Indradyumna that he should install and worship this Narsimha Dev and perform 1000 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Having done that, then the celestial architect Vishwakarma will come down and he will carve a deity for you, and that deity will replace the disappearance of Neelamadava. So having said this, they continued their journey, and then they finally reached Purushottam Kshetra, where still King Indradyumna had this hope that he will see Neelamadava. He had not given up this hope. But when he reached Purushottam Kshetra and eventually realized, went to the grove and found that Neelamadava was not there, It is said that King Indradumna fainted. And again, Narad Muni revived him with instructions, but because King Indradumna, when he came out of his, came to his consciousness, he said, there is no point in my existence if I cannot have darshan, if these eyes cannot see Lord Nilamadava, so I am going to fast unto death. So then again, Narad Muni explains to him that you need to be patient, please continue on this arduous journey and you will find something special at the end of it. And he also explained that Lord Nilamadava has actually disappeared owing to some concerns which Lord Yamaraj had in his mind, which we talked about earlier. And also he apprised him of Lord Shiva's instruction, saying that when you reach there, we will find a Narsinga deity and you have to perform Ashwamedha Yajnas and so on and so forth. So they left their chariots in this place called Nilakantha, and then they proceeded on foot now to through the groves. So as they proceeded towards this Kunja, they saw a ferocious deity of Lord Narsingadev. And when Maharaj Indradumna saw that, he paid obeisances to these deities and with the permission of these deities proceeded further towards Nilamadava. So when he came to that particular place where Lord Nilamadava was now not there, they got Goddess Saraswati appeared there in that place, and then Goddess Saraswati gave a lot of instructions to Maharaj, to Narad Muni as well as to Maharaj Indradumna. She mentioned that Narad Muni should stay in that place, in that grove, for 4 more days, whereas Maharaj Indradumna should come back to where he left the chariots and build a temple for to worship this Narsinga Dev deity. So Maharaj Indradumna took this instruction, left Narad Muni there, and he came back to where the chariots were. And when he came back to that place, he found that Vishwakarma had sent his son, the celestial architect had sent his son to assist King Indradumna in construction of a small temple. And it is mentioned that in 4 days' time, they built this temple. And soon thereafter, on the 5th day, Narad Muni returned to that temple and established the Narsinga deity on that altar, and they commenced the Ashwamedha Yajna. Now there is an elaborate description in the scripture. When I was going through this Jai Jagannath book, there is an elaborate description of how opulently Maharaj Indradumna performed this Ashwamedha Yajna, where all the demigods were present. Very elaborate arrangement. It said that the Ashwamedha Yajna went into several miles. That was the size of the Yajna. Now on the 7th day of this Ashwamedha Yajna, something unique happened. When Maharaj Indradumna was taking rest, in his dream, he had darshan of Anantashesh and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lying, and he saw the goddess Lakshmi massaging his feet. So he got that entire darshan. And then he went, after he woke up, he went to Narad Muni and shared this with Narad Muni. And Narad Muni told him to keep this dream confidential, but also explained to him, saying that the Lord is indicating to you that now He is going to reveal Himself to you very soon in some form. On the same day, some of the citizens who were there in the local area, they had gone to the sea to take bath and then come back to participate in the Ashwamedha Yajna. So when they went to this sea to take bath, they witnessed a log of wood slowly floating towards the banks of the sea. And this log of wood was not like any other ordinary log of wood. It had a sweet fragrance. It had an uncommon luster. And also, this log of wood had marks of Vishnu in it. All the auspicious symbols. So when they came and explained this to Srila Narad Muni, Narad Muni immediately ordered that this log of wood be brought to the Mahavedi. Mahavedi means the sacrificial altar. And this should be worshipped. So the log was brought and then people started worshipping this log of wood. As soon as they started, completed worshipping this log of wood, a celestial voice came and told them that very soon a carpenter will come and carve out the deity, a unique form of deity from this particular log of wood. But the condition is that when this log of wood is being carved by this carpenter, there should be no disturbance and there should be complete privacy. So, very soon, an old carpenter arrived and entered this Mahavedi area. And as he started, and he was given his own private quarters. So as he started carving, it is said that uncommon fragrances filled the entire air. It is mentioned that Parijata flowers started flowing down from the heavenly planets, and droplets of sweet Ganga water sprinkled down to cool the entire atmosphere around. Also, demigods and the Brahmanas' prayers could be heard. So there were all auspicious signs that were happening. So Goddess Saraswati, after a few days when the carving was going on, it is mentioned that Goddess Saraswati came and asked Maharaj Indrajumna, "Now the carving is at a fairly mature stage. You can ask your men to enter the room and they should assist the carpenter in covering the forms of these deities and also painting them correctly. And that in parallel, as people are doing this painting, he must parallelly construct a temple for the Lord." And it was said that in future, Vishwavasu and his descendants will be responsible always for the painting of these deities. So in a few days, the work was finally over, and it is said that the beautiful forms of Lord Jagannath, Srila Baldev and Lady Subhadra, Mother Subhadra, along with the Sudarshan Chakra, revealed themselves to this world. And it is mentioned in the Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya that this deity of Lord Jagannath was manifest with large dilated eyes, round face and hands and legs withdrawn inside. And obviously, you know, we know this past time that when Lord Krishna was there in Dwarka, right? And when Mother Rohini was describing these pastimes, Lord Krishna overheard her. In fact, they had asked Subhadra to stand there and say that, okay, don't allow these people to come here. When Krishna and Balaram come here, they should not listen to these pastimes. But because she herself was in ecstasy, she was stunned. So slowly these two brothers came and stood on either side of her. And when Lord Krishna heard his own pastimes, in separation from the devotees, Vipralamba Bhav, he developed these kind of ecstatic symptoms on his body, and this leela is called as Mahabhava Prakash, where the Lord's hands go inside and his eyes start dilating. So this is Krishna's manifestation of ecstasy in separation from the Vrajavasis. So this is the form which the Lordships manifested from that log of wood, which we today know as Lord Jagannath, Lord Baldev and Subhadra. So soon after they manifested, Lord Jagannath himself came to King Indradumna and appeared to him and asked him to excavate a well which was near a banyan tree next to the temple, and said that from now onwards, whatever water that you use to bathe my deities should be only from this well. And also he instructed him that after bathing me from this well for 15 days, no one should see the deity forms. So that is the auspicious occasion of Snan Yatra, which is today happening in Jagannath Puri. Just a bit of information on Snan Yatra. What happens in Jagannath Puri, and that's explained in this Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya, that the day starts just immediately after sunrise. The deities of Lord Balaram is first taken out, followed by Sudarshan Chakra, followed by Subhadra Mai, followed by Lord Jagannath. That's the sequence in which the deities come out of the Jagannath Puri temple. And they are taken to the place where they will be bathed in a procession which is called as Pahandi. Okay, Pahandi means swaying step by step. So the people who carry these deities, they take one step at a time, they sway, and that's how the Lord is brought out from the altar. And it is said that this Snanavedi means where the Lord is going to be bathed, is in the northeastern corner of the temple. And because the deities are so heavy, there are many strong men that are required to carry the deity from there to the Snanavedi. So when the lordships are brought to the Snanavedi or the altar where they will be bathed, they are placed in a canopy for public view for the entire day. And it is said that the Lord is bathed with 108 golden pots, which are filled with cool, scented sandalwood water. And it is said that this water is taken from that Sunakua, or it's called as the golden well. The whole idea being that this particular month, the current time in India, in Purushottam Kshetra, is supposed to be the hottest months of the year. And therefore, this Snan Yatra is also to help the Lord beat the heat of the summer sun. So, when the Lords are bathed, they are bathed and then the Lords are there in the canopy for public view throughout the day. So, in the evening it is mentioned that it's a very, I haven't been to Jagannath Puri, so, but many of you have been to. So, it is mentioned, whatever I've read is from the book, it's mentioned that in the evening when the deities give darshan to the devotees, it is mentioned that the sun is always setting behind the deities on one hand, and simultaneously the moonlight is also shining on the deities. And it is therefore said that this is the deities appear in a very effulgent form because of this, you know, unique combination of sun setting and the moon appearing at the same time. Now at this time the Lord is dressed in what is called as the Hathi Vesh at the end of the Snan Yatra. Hathi Vesh is the Lord is given an elephant trunk. Now the pastime behind this is also mentioned in a scripture called as the Dhardayata Bhakti, where it is mentioned that there was a devotee by the name Ganapati Bhatta who was very attached to Lord Ganesha's form, the elephant form, and it is mentioned that when he came to Jagannath Puri, when he took darshan of Lord Jagannath, he was still having the form of Lord Ganesh in his mind, and he had some marginal disappointment on seeing that this Lord Jagannath did not reveal that he is the source of the same Ganesh. So he was disappointed, and it's mentioned, the scripture goes that as he was walking out of Jagannath Puri, the Lord himself appeared to him as a Brahman and told him, hang on, don't go, come back and take darshan tomorrow. And when the Brahmana conceded and he came back, then the Lord revealed himself in the form of Hathi Vesh. And that's to commemorate that, then we do this Hathi Vesh function immediately after the Snan Yatra. So that is the mercy of Lord Jagannath, that he fulfills the desires of all his devotees. Now another point which came across is that because these deities come out on the day of Snan Yatra, people of any caste and creed can take darshan of these deities, because Jagannath Puri traditionally does not allow Westerners or non-Hindus to enter the temple. So this is a good opportunity for anyone and everyone to take darshan of their deities. So this, then it is also mentioned that the offering to Lord Jagannath on this day of Snan Yatra is also extremely opulent. There are hundreds and hundreds of pots of Mahabhoga which is offered to the Lord. So after this bathing function happens, it is said that the Lord catches fever because of the intense heat of Purushottam Kshetra and the fact that the Lord is being bathed with cool water. The Lord catches fever and therefore the Lordships retire to their own private quarters where they recuperate. And it is mentioned that only personal servants or daitas of the Lord are allowed to help the Lord recuperate during this 15-day period, which is called as Anavasara. So as instructed by Lord Jagannath to Maharaj Indrajumna, the Sabaras, the descendants of the Sabara tribe, they come and renovate these deities when the Lord is recuperating, and they repaint these deities. And during this 15-day recuperation period, it is mentioned that the Lord is offered drugs, fruit juices, not chemical drugs, drugs and fruit juices, herbs and roots, all derived from the jungles of Orissa. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained that during this time, then the Lord takes a chance to perform his Swakya Leela. So there are two Leela, Swakya and Parakya. Parakya means in the mode of separation and Swakya means in the mode of union. So the Lord takes this opportunity to spend some time personally with the goddess of fortune, who is his wife. Now it is also mentioned immediately after that, and that's what I found a bit funny, is that the Lord pleases Goddess Lakshmi so much that she doesn't object then to his leaving for the Rathayatra to go to Vrindavan and see the gopis.
So I was just thinking that, you know, we also try to please our wife, you know, knowing very well that tomorrow, you know, we want to ask her something.
So the Lord is also like that. So he then asks her permission to go out on Ratha Yatra. So and it is mentioned that on the early morning, before the Ratha Yatra day, then the lordships, they offer their darshan, and this darshan is in their newly painted forms. Therefore, this vesha of the Lord in the newly painted form is called as Nava Yauvana Vesha. Nava Yauvana means again, the Lord has become youthful. Okay, now not that the Lord becomes old, but the deities are repainted. So very fresh look. And the festival which is celebrated in Jagannath Puri is called as the Netrotsava festival, also called as the reappearance of the Lord. So this is about the Snan Yatra. So I'll take another 10 minutes with your permission, because today is the auspicious disappearance day of two more great personalities, Sridhar Pandit and Mukunda Datta. So just two or three of their pastimes. Because it is said that out of all the worships, Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, which we have already done, we have discussed about the Lord. But then it also says, Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarjanam, which means higher than glorifying the Lord is glorifying the devotees of the Lord. So having glorified the Lord now, we will spend the last 10 minutes in glorifying the devotees of the Lord. So today is the disappearance day of Sridhar Pandit. Now it is mentioned in the scriptures that Sridhar Pandit is one of the 12 Gopals, or the Gopas, not Gopal, sorry, is one of the 12 Gopals in Krishna Leela, whose name was Kusumasava. Now, Sridhar Pandit is more popularly known, you know, because of Chaitanya Charitamrita, as Kolavecha Sridhara. Kolavecha. Kolavecha means a person who sells bark. B-A-R-K, bark. So, Sridhar Pandit appeared in this world to participate in Chaitanya Leela as a poor Brahmin. And it is said that he made his living by selling the produce of, there was a banana tree, and he used to live by selling produce from whatever he got from the plantain and the leaves. So he was living in extreme poverty. And his dwelling, wherever he lived, that place is today also known as Vishram Sthan. Vishram means rest, Sthan means place. Because Lord Chaitanya always ended his kirtan there, at that place, at Vishram Sthan. Now there is a very sweet pastime between Lord Chaitanya and Kolavecha Sridhar, or Sridhar Pandit, that Sridhar Pandit used to, you know, eke out his living by selling these, you know, banana leaves and banana bark and banana, these small products. So Lord Chaitanya, whenever he used to come to Kolavecha Sridhar, he always used to tease him. So Lord Chaitanya used to come and tell him, who are you worshipping? Because this Sridhar, Kolavecha Sridhar, he had a very unique quality. What he did was, though he was very poor, whatever income that he got, 50% of that income he used to keep aside for worshipping Ganga Devi. And only 50% he used to keep for himself. So if he got 1 rupee in a day, then 50 paisa will go for Ganga Devi. And if he got 2 rupees, then 1 rupee will go for Ganga Devi. So 50% was always kept aside. Despite his poverty, he did that. So Lord Chaitanya obviously was very pleased with him. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to, you know, tease him. So he always used to come and tease Kolavecha Sridhar. He said, look at where everyone has reached in this world, all around you. What do you have today? You have some torn clothes, there are holes in all your clothes, right? You don't even have a proper house. And Lord Chaitanya used to laugh loudly. You worship this Ganga Devi, you worship this Lord Krishna, what has he given you? Look at yourself and see where others are. They have got all, look at where the king is today. So what has this Krishna worship given you? You tell me. So then Kolavecha Sridhar very humbly used to tell the Lord that, there is an example which is given, which I read. He said that the king living in his palace, and engaging in the activities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending is not different than the bird on this tree which is also doing the same activity. So what is the use of such an existence? I am very happy. There are holes in my clothes, but I have clothes to wear and I am happy with those clothes. Right? So I understand that I live in utter poverty, but I still have that enough money to be able to
at least have food for myself and also worship Ganga Devi. So who says that I am in poverty? Who is saying that? So and Lord Chaitanya again used to laugh at him.
So this is the way Lord Chaitanya used to tease him. Further, what Lord Chaitanya used to do is, he used to come and bargain. If Kolavesha Sridhar says 50 paisa, Lord Chaitanya used to take all that, all these goods and give him only 25 paisa, only half the charge, saying that you are overcharging me for your goods. So Kolavesha Sridhar used to tell him, no, 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 because another quality of Kolavesha Sridhar was that he was very truthful. He would never tell a lie in his life. So he is compared to Maharaj Yudhishthira, like that. So he will never lie. He will always tell the true price of the good. And on top of that, he used to give 50% to Ganga Devi. So why should he lie? But Lord Chaitanya used to tell, no, you are bluffing. You are not giving the true prices of these products. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, you know, was in a different mood. So he always used to give him only half the price. And when Kolavesha Sridhar refused, then Lord Chaitanya used to forcibly steal, you know, the goods from him and run away from there.
So there was a lot of argument between them.
So, once when Lord Chaitanya was doing this pastime and Kolavesha Sridhar was not, you know, giving him goods, then Lord Chaitanya said, see, look, when I am bargaining with you, you are haggling with me unnecessarily. Okay? But at the same time, you are spending half of that money and giving it to Ganga Devi. Do you know who is that Ganga Devi? She is my daughter. So the Ganga Devi has come from me. So, and then, but she because of, you know, the desire of the Lord himself, Sridhar, Kolavesha Sridhar did not understand that at that time. So again that argument went on. However, one day Lord Chaitanya decided that he will do what is called as the Shat Prahara pastime. Shat Prahara. Prahara means, Shat means seven. Right? So, and a Prahar is said to be a 3 hour duration. So Shat Prahara means 7 into 3 is 21. So he, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that he will now demonstrate his pastime for 21 hours. So he went to Shiva's Angan, Lord Shiva's Pandit's house, and there Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed all the avatars. He revealed various forms of Lord Narasimhadev, Matsya avatar, so many avatars, Lord Ram, etc. So, and at that time, he specifically invited Kolavesha Sridhar, so Kolavesha Sridhar could know who is he, because Lord was now revealing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his intimate devotees in Chaitanya Leela. So, at the end of that, he called for Kolavesha Sridhar and he asked him, what do you want? Today I have a deep desire to give you some benediction. You are in utter poverty. So I am going to give you all the 8 mystic opulences today. So please ask me, what do you want? So Kolavesha Sridhar said no. I am not interested in the 8-fold mystic opulences and I don't want anything from you. But Lord Chaitanya was very adamant. This time he was arguing differently. He said, no, you have to take something from me. So, Kolavesha Sridhar, he said, all I want is, may that Brahmin who used to argue with me every day, be my eternal master, and may I always serve his lotus feet. That's the only thing that I want from you, my dear Lord. So, it is mentioned that on the day after Lord Chaitanya delivered the Chand Kazi, so I'm not going to talk about the Chand Kazi pastime, but after delivering the Chand Kazi and establishing the Sankirtan movement, as we discussed every day, the Lord used to go to the Vishram Sthan. So he went to Kolavesha Sridhar's house for all the devotees to relax. Now Lord Chaitanya was feeling very thirsty. So when he went to Kolavesha Sridhar's house, he saw the dilapidated hut of Kolavesha Sridhar. And again the Lord started laughing loudly. Look at this fellow. Look at his hut. And then, but the Lord wanted to drink water. So when the Lord went there, and Kolavesha Sridhar, now by now he knew that Lord Chaitanya is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So Kolavesha Sridhar went inside to give some water to the Lord. But in the meantime, the Lord found in one corner of his hut, there was an old iron pot. This old iron pot was rusted. It had so many scratch marks on it and it had lot of holes in it. Okay. And it is mentioned that even the most hardened thief will not steal that pot. Even he will not be attracted to that pot. But when Lord Chaitanya saw that pot, ecstatic symptoms started developing in his body. He rushed to that pot and he said, I have found the water which I need. And he started drinking from that pot. And when the others saw this, the Advaita, Nityananda, they all saw that, they all fainted in ecstasy. Just seeing the love of his God, his devotees. And Kolavesha Sridhar obviously
he was mentioning to the Lord, why are you taking from this part? You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not appropriate that you take from this. And the Lord said, I have found the treasure which I knew you always had, and today I am going to reveal this treasure of yours to the entire world. And that was that deliberated iron pot. Now it is said that on the day before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, so Kolavecha Sridhar, with his meager earnings, he brought what is called as gourd. Gourd is also called as dudhi in Hindi. So he brought this gourd to gift it to Lord Chaitanya, because he knew that this was the favorite dish of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya insisted that tomorrow onwards I am going to take sannyas, I am going to go out of Navadvip, but then because Kolavecha Sridhar has offered me this gourd with so much love, I want it cooked right now. And the Lord took that gourd and tasted it. So this is the, you know, these are the glories of Srila Sridhar Pandit. And the Lord made it a point that every time that he will come from Jagannath Puri to Navadvip, he will always make it a point to meet Kolavecha Sridhar along with Sachi Mata. Finally, Mukunda Datta. So today is the disappearance day of Mukunda Datta as well. So it is mentioned that Mukunda Datta is none other than the cowherd boy who is named as Madhu Kantha, who was born in a place called Chittagong. It's in Bangladesh, right? Chittagong. So Mukunda Datta was known to be the most famous singer during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, during Gaur Leela. It is said that when Mukunda Datta used to sing, the words given are Padma Makarande. Padma means lotus and Makarande means honey. Padma Makarande. It said that his voice was so mellifluous that it was as if the pollen which is coming out of the lotus is mixed with honey. And when Mukunda Datta used to sing, then the Lord immediately used to go into ecstatic raptures whenever he used to start bhajan. So Lord Chaitanya, when he was now, we come back to this Sat Prahar Leela, 7 by 3, the 21 hour pastime. When he was showing his various forms, the Lord initially started showing his form as Lord Ram to Murari Gupta, because Murari Gupta was none other than the incarnation of Hanuman in Chaitanya Leela. So the Lord showed him the form of Lord Ram, and then the Lord turned to Haridas Thakur and he showed him the whip mark on his back. When Haridas Thakur was flogged in 21 marketplaces, at that time Lord Chaitanya revealed to him that you were able to survive that because I used to take the whips on my back. So he was displaying one pastime after the other. Then, and he was giving his darshan and mercy to all the devotees. But he ignored one devotee over there. Amongst all those present, one devotee was ignored. And who was he? Mukunda Datta. The Lord ignored him and did not offer him any benediction. So seeing this, Srivas Pandit came there and asked the Lord, Lord, you are giving mercy to all the devotees. Why are you ignoring Mukunda Datta? What is the reason for that? So the Lord said that Mukunda Datta, I am ignoring him because he is what is called as Shubhidavadi. Shubhidavadi in English is also called as eclecticism. Eclecticism means that you will give a philosophy based on who you are talking to. So when you go and sit in a Mayavadi forum, if you are hearing that the Lord is impersonal, you say, yeah, wonderful, Lord is impersonal, first class. Right? And if you go to an atheistic community and they say God don't exist, then just to maintain your friendly relationship with them, you say, yeah, he doesn't exist. Wonderful, excellent. Everything is Mother Nature. There is no God. No? Things like that. So wherever he used to go, he used to align with this philosophy. But we have to be very careful not to make apradas in our mind, because who are we talking about? We are talking about a gopa in Krishna Leela. So he came down to perform this pastime, and as a lesson which Lord is trying to teach us, it's not that he was contaminated. He was a Nitya Siddha who had come down. So the Lord wanted to demonstrate by this pastime that he does not tolerate this kind of eclecticism or tolerance of bogus philosophies. Right? So Vyavasayitmaka Buddhi, Ekas Gurundana. We have to be fixed in our determination. We have to accept the supreme philosophy coming from the bona fide scriptures, and that's what the Lord wanted to establish here. So he said that because this guy advocates philosophy according to his association, he changes his philosophy, I am not going to give him mercy because he has insulted Bhakti Devi. And one who insults Bhakti Devi does not get bhakti inside his heart. So when he told this, and the Lord also followed it up by saying that, but because Srivas Pandit, you're asking on behalf of him, I will give him mercy. I will give him my mercy after 1 million births from now. So obviously if someone tells us 1 million births, this one lifetime itself is so heavy for us. So if the Lord says you have to come 1 million births more, then no devotee wants that. Right? But when Mukunda Datta heard this, that Lord is saying that he'll give me mercy after 1 million births, he didn't react the conventional way. He became very ecstatic and he said, Ullas, Ullas. He will see me, he said. He said, so what? After 1 million births I'll see him? Fantastic. At least I'll see the Lord after 1 million births. That was his mood. And when he reacted, when he responded like that, then Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him. Because this is Utsaha Nichaya Dhairya. There is enthusiasm, but there is patience also along with that. So he said that immediately he told Srivas Pandit that I will remove all his offenses that he has committed so far. So this is the pastime of Mukunda Datta, and it is mentioned that Mukunda Datta's there is a temple at the birthplace of Mukunda Datta, which is currently under the aegis of ISKCON Chittagong, and soon it is mentioned that a Vedic temple will be built there. So today on this, so there are three auspicious occasions, and we spoke on three different subject matters. One was the Snan Yatra, which is the advent of Lord Jagannath. One was about the pastimes of Kolevesha Sridhar, also called as Sridhar Pandit, and also the disappearance day of Mukunda Datta. So this Mukunda Datta is different than the Mukunda Sarkar. So we don't have to, you know, we should not get confused between these two pastimes. So thank you for your patient hearing. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So any questions, comments, corrections? Yeah, in fact there are two things which I couldn't reconcile when I read this extract from the Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya. One is this, I didn't find this also in this Jagannath Ki Jai book. The other thing also was that in this book it was mentioned, there is no mention of the fact that when the carpenter was actually carving the deities, you know, since there was no noise, then they opened the door and therefore the Lord's form was supposedly incomplete. So both these were not given there. So So one is that I will solicit anyone else, you know, who knows about this pastime in more depth to please share it with us. But my understanding was that in different yugas this pastime could be enacted differently. So the way that what is mentioned in the book that I read is specifically talking about how he appeared in that particular yuga under that manu. So that's how we have to reconcile, you know, the contradictions.
Different yuga, different pastime.
Yeah. Between Sambhoga and Vipralamba? Sambhoga is the mood of the Lord when he is in association with his consort. That is called a Sambhoga Lila. And Vipralamba is when the Lord is in the mood of separation. Because the Lord is Rasaraj. Being Rasaraj, he wants to taste all the different kinds of moods. Like that. So, predominantly with his 16,108 queens in Dwarka, the Leela which is predominantly going on is Sambhoga. And with the Vrajavasis, it is Vipralamba. But it is said that Vipralamba is higher than Sambhoga. The Lord, you know, tastes further relish in Vipralamba than he tastes in Sambhoga. In fact, it is Vipralamba because of which the Lord, you know, descended in the form of Lord Jagannath, and it is Vipralamba mood itself with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish in this world. That is why it said, Yadi Gaurna Hoito, Tabe Ki Hoito, Kemone Dharitam De, Radhar Mahima, Prema Rasa Sima, Jagate Janatoke. But for this highest ecstasy of Vipralamba, the world would not have known but for the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the glory of Srimati Radharani in this Vipralamba would not also have been known. Therefore, Srimati Radharani's position is higher than the position of Goddess Lakshmi. From whatever I have read, Anirudh Prabhu, whatever I have read is, it's said that all this has been taken from Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya. And before, you know, you joined the class, I was mentioning that Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya is a part of the Skanda Purana. So whatever is mentioned in Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya is to be considered as a bona fide scripture. So if any practice is mentioned there, then because it's coming from the bona fide scriptures, it is bona fide. That's my understanding of it.
So in that shastra, it mentions the Hati Vaishya ceremony?
Yes, it's mentioned there. So I took these notes from a book called Jagannath Ki Jai, which is written by Dhruva Maharaj Das. So whatever notes I have taken was from there. And he gives reference to Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya.
There was actually said that who's looking after the worship of Jagannath at the moment?
So it gives a huge list of who is worshipping. There's not one single person. There are various functions, there are various activities and responsibilities against that has been given. For example, it is mentioned that, you know, the painting is belonging to the Shabaras, then the king of Puri himself has got some responsibilities and nobody else is allowed to execute those responsibilities. Who will do, you know, the marjanam, you know, sweeping, that's also mentioned. Who will cater, who will go and collect the wood, that itself is a team and only they can go and search for the wood, because every year, I don't know, every year or how many? Pardon? Every? 12 years. They have to go to the forest and collect this wood. So they have to look for the appropriate log of wood there, which represents, which is a bona fide wood for carving the deity of Lord Jagannath. Even for that, there is a special team and only that team can go and look for that. So there is a whole list. Who can make bhoga? There's a whole list which is given there and it's huge. It runs into several pages. So I didn't find one single person, you know, responsible. But I would tend to believe that the king of Puri would probably, you know, be the authority, because he is coming in the lineage.
But
who does the puja in the Jagannath temple?
That's determined by that.
Yeah, that's determined by that. But I can't recollect at this point. Yeah, like
their
roster. Yeah, like
their roster. Temple roster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thousands of years.
Correct.
Long time.
Yeah. But one thing which I found, which I could not reconcile within my own mind, is there is a strong focus on descendancy by birth, which is different than the conventional mood that we are used to, where it is by siksha, not by birth.
That's very strong in Puri.
Yeah, that's very strong.
That's why you know, they restrict people from going into the temple.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what is mentioned in the book. So. Is that a conversation that's coming up? Is that something which is coming up in ISKCON for discussion?
No, it's been discussed by a few people.
Okay.
Most temple, of course, certainly this temple ignores it. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, because we're commemorating Snan Yatra and we're commemorating Jagannath's Leela in the past life, then that's appropriate because that's what he does. And so we do it in remembrance of Lord Jagannath. So in that sense, it's not up to some predominant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But of course, you know, Prabhupada did introduce that
ceremony. That's why that's considered. Okay.
But it is a, you know, it's become an integral part of our celebrations, as it is an integral part of the celebration of Lord Jagannath's appearance.
Mm.
So, we don't, you know, we'll stick with it for the moment, don't we?
Thank you. Anything else?
तथा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय निताय गौर प्रमाण।